Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. We all get them, those emails from the bank that tell us there's a problem with our account. Or maybe it's the email from a business telling us we won a fabulous prize. All we need to do is click on the link to claim it. And in our excitement, we quickly glance at the logo and the information, then we click. Within the blink of an eye, a virus is unleashed, and our computer is a mess. Or worse, we share personal banking information, and our account is emptied. There's a tsunami of information coming at us each day. We drown in it. It is so hard to process all of it. From the simple email to the disinformation on social media, we must constantly be on our toes. And it's not just those who are elderly who are victims. Many of us thoughtlessly like and share information, barely taking a moment to think. It's one of the reasons disinformation becomes so widely spread. The staff at Northumberland County are hoping to help people become more adept at dealing with the pitfalls of the online world. Through its digital literacy program, the county is offering multiple online sessions for free. These cover timely topics like dealing with viruses and scams through to spotting disinformation. I will be talking to the person in charge of those programs about all of the details. Here is my interview with Toby Pollock, IT Director for Northumberland County and the person responsible for the digital literacy program. He will be talking about these free courses to help us avoid some of the challenges of the internet. I'm so pleased to have with me today Toby Pollock, IT Director for Northumberland County and the person responsible for the digital literacy program. Welcome to Consider This, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
Now, starting on November 16th and running for a number of weeks, there are some free online sessions being run by Northumberland County for people and businesses to help them be safer and smarter online. Can you tell listeners what this is all about?
So starting November 16th, Northumberland County will be offering online learning sessions for community members at no charge through the Digital Literacy Program. This program was developed to help foster a smart Northumberland, the vision expressed in the county's 2019 digital strategy. These sessions will be presented by our partner, TechDout, and they're supported with funding from the Department of Canadian Heritage. We will be offering three separate courses. The first, Staying Safe on the Internet. In this session, participants will learn to identify and defend against common internet-based cyber threats, such as viruses, malware, and phishing attacks delivered through fake emails and fake websites using a variety of tools and techniques. The second session will be on bias and fact-checking. This session will address bias and misinformation, which is erroneous information, and disinformation, which is false information intended to mislead, on the internet and provide techniques and credible sources for fact-checking and cross-referencing information. And finally, the third session will be on stopping the COVID-19 infodemic. Through this session, participants will learn how to help stop the spread of misinformation and disinformation in the COVID-19 infodemic by identifying and sharing credible sources of information. Each session will be offered three times a week on Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Registration is required, and you can register online at smartnorthumberland.ca.
That's fascinating. Now, lots of good stuff in there, but I'd like to take a little bit of time and sort of explore all of what we just talked about. So being safe on the internet is not always that easy. I mean, there are viruses out there, there's malware, and then there's phishing attacks, which, and I know we're not talking about walleye in Rice Lake, right? So maybe you can tell us a bit about what are viruses, what is malware, and what are phishing attacks?
So to begin with, viruses are basically computer programs, and to some extent malware as well, are computer programs that get inadvertently or through some devious process get installed on your computer that can potentially damage your computer, steal your information, and in the worst set of cases could be a ransomware attack that goes ahead and encrypts all of your data, and then you get asked for a ransom to help encrypt that information. Phishing attacks, which is a common way of getting information from individuals, are for the most part are directed towards that individual and are attempts to gain personal or private information such as bank account information, passwords, and are also a prime sort of vector for bringing in the ransomware. So it's important that as we participate in the internet and as we are on the internet, which has a lot of value, that there's also a lot of risk, and we need to understand what that risk is, and we need to understand how to protect ourselves, protect our computers, and to be aware of these potential pitfalls that exist, so that we can protect ourselves and our information.
Now, I also know that there's things called fake emails and fake websites, and oftentimes these look like legitimate. Organizations might look like they came from a bank or maybe a place where we do business or, where we shop, and they'll arrive in our email. And while they look legitimate, they're not. So can you tell me a bit about those kinds of things and what this course will offer to help us recognize what is fake and what is not?
You're absolutely right, Rob, especially with emails now, a lot of the bad actors out there are able to create emails that look exactly like they come from your bank, and they will redirect you to look what looks like the login page from your bank, and it's all fake. It's not real, but it's so hard to tell just by looking at it. What we will do during this course is help our residents to identify the red flags. Like, what are those flags that help you say, this doesn't look right? And it may be something like looking at the reply to address, hovering your mouse over the reply to address, or hovering your mouse over the button that they're asking you to click, or even just asking that, those questions as to why am I getting this email. One of the things that we teach our staff here in Northumberland County is the concept of control the contact. So if you do get something from your bank, or you do get something that looks it's legitimate, but you're unsure, we ask our staff to control that contact. Don't click the link that's presented to you there, but rather pick up the phone and call the bank and ask them, did you just send me an email telling me my account was locked and that I needed to re-enter in my password? So it's kind of looking at things a little differently, being a little more critical about how we view an email that comes in, to ask those questions, why am I getting this? And then in the end, to really control that contact, just to make sure that we're safe and that everything is on the up and up.
So that's one session. Now, I know there's another session where you're going to talk about bias and fact checking. Now, you hear a lot about social media and fake news and these kinds of terms, and there's a lot of talk about it, but it's not always as easy to recognize as you would think. Now, can you explain where we might find misinformation or disinformation on the internet?
Both misinformation and disinformation are, you're right. It's not easy to spot, and it's everywhere. It's prevalent. Everybody, including myself and yourself, we have biases. So whenever we talk if we post on the internet, we have an internal bias that we present. Some people, for that bias, tends to be a little more disingenuous. And through this course, we're not going to be identifying and saying, this is definitely disinformation or this is definitely misinformation. But we're going to try to show give our residents, our community members, the tools and techniques to be able to make that decision for themselves. So instead of just believing what you hear, here's how I can validate the truth or the authenticity of that information. So the focus really is going to be on, here are the tools, here are the techniques, and here's how to think critically about any sort of information that you consume on the internet.
It's interesting, those terms, misinformation and disinformation, they're quite different. I understand misinformation is sort of when you make a mistake. Somebody puts up something and they haven't got their own facts quite straight. Whereas disinformation is malicious. It's intentionally trying to mislead you. So if that's the case, how do we, when we watch this kind of stuff coming across our social media feeds and in our emails, how do we make a determination of whether it's just somebody innocently making a comment and not quite having their facts right versus somebody who's legitimately out to try and mislead us or to manipulate us?
It's a thin line, and it's difficult to kind of work through that. But if you've got the tools and the techniques and you know where to go to get credible sources of information, this will help you in determining, the authenticity of the information that you're receiving. And it's through this course that we're going to show you those tools and those techniques to help everybody to think a little more critically and to be able to make that justification and know where to go. I mean, it's easy to get bounced around and this site says this and this site says that, but understanding what the bias of every site or having some insight into what might be driving that site or that individual and making those comments and being able to validate those comments based on certain sites that are known to be more truthful or more authentic will help our residents to be able to distinguish between the two. Having said that, it's not an easy thing. There's a lot of information out there. Information overload is a real challenge and a real issue. But I think what it boils down to is if it's something that's important to you, if it's something that you have an opinion on or that you feel you need to speak out about, then it's something that maybe you need to take that extra effort and to validate the authenticity of the information that you're digesting.
We always hear about these misinformation and disinformation campaigns, and we think of them sort of being elsewhere or being generated from elsewhere. But do you at the county ever run into this problem? I mean, do you ever get a time when you send out a notification, say, about waste collection or recycling, and then suddenly people start making comments or sharing it with notes tagged on it that don't represent the facts that the county's trying to communicate? I mean, do you actually experience this at the county or see it on a local basis?
Oh, yes, we do. I think we see it everywhere. I mean, it's in our personal lives, and it's when we're at home and we're on Facebook and you're chatting with your relatives or even here in the organization, we see it. I know through our communications department that a considerable amount of effort is put into, phrasing the information in a way that it's neutral and also attempting to have a discourse to clear up confusion or any misinformation that is posted about something that we've come forward with.
And I'm sure too, local businesses must experience that too when they go onto social media and try to promote their business or do online transactions. I mean, it's easy to see how social media might interfere with that and create miscommunication or bad information that might be hurt their business.
You're right. I mean, I think it all boils down to technology and to the internet and to social media is that there are pros and there are benefits with that technology, but there's also risks and it's trying to identify those specific to social media. There's research out there that suggests that social media contributes to people becoming entrenched in their beliefs because there is this limited exposure to alternative opinions. So something is said, it's out there, but that discourse is missing. Just the nature of the way that social media has matured over the last little while. So this siloing of people, and what happens is people get siloed into a particular side because they lack that the view of the other side or that discourse for the other side. And also it limits that compromise. And it's this discourse and this compromise that's essential for democracy. I know it's something that came up during the development of our digital strategy when we did reach out to the community. And our attempt here with the digital strategy and with the digital literacy program is to look at utilizing advancements in technology and also about how to process and how to work with this technology in an effort to foster an inclusive, prosperous, and secure community.
Well, that leads me into my next question, which is sort of the proactive nature of these sessions. I mean, one of them deals with how individuals can stop the spread of misinformation and disinformation during COVID-19 and how to deal with credible sources. Can you tell us more about this session? Because I mean, this is very critical at this particular time.
Yeah, so I mean, back in February of 2020, the World Health Organization characterized COVID-19 as an infodemic, as something that's become so prevalent, not just in our community, not just in our country, but in the whole world. It's very important. It's very important, especially during the pandemic, that people, everybody, be able to assess the quality, credibility, and relevance of any source of information that they have. And that really is the focus of this session, is to touch on the tools and techniques for fact-checking and cross-referencing information to help people identify what are these credible sources of information that we should be sharing, and how do we stop the spread of the disinformation that is being sent out regarding COVID-19.
It's really interesting too, because when you think about how we behave online, oftentimes we sort of bang in or bash into information online, either through our computers or through our mobile phones and through social media, and we it's always a quick hit. Whereas when we talk about really the type of thing that you're talking about, it's about investing time and actually caring about the kinds of information and what it is you're actually absorbing. And you know, when we take that sort of hit and run attitude, then I think we expose ourselves more to this disinformation. Whereas I think if we took some time and, you know, treated it as we would in a thoughtful way, you know, it only takes a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes and you can find out something is credible or not. But somehow we just haven't learned yet to take that time to invest. Yeah, what's been your experience with that?
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do, as I mentioned a little earlier, was about information overload. There's so much information out there, and there's so little time that we have to validate it. And it used to be that information would come to us in, you know, newspaper articles or books or whatnot, and now it comes in, you know, 100 odd characters on a post somewhere. And there's so much of this information, and we have so little time. You people do their best to try to, you know, this sounds right or this doesn't sound right. I feel there's some value in this. And really what we're trying to do here is, to your point, let's spend a little bit of extra time. If this is something that's important to you, if it's something that resonates with you, spend those few extra minutes and we'll give you the tools and we'll give you the techniques on how to validate this information, just to make sure that it is authentic, what you're thinking about the item that you're reading about.
So how did the county become interested in doing these sessions?
Well, it all comes out of our digital strategy. So back in August of 2019 and through most of 2019, we worked on the development of our digital strategy. This digital strategy, really, it's a roadmap to guide the county's adoption and use of technology to best meet the evolving needs and expectations of the community. And the long-term vision of the strategy is Smart Northumberland, which really is a more digitally intelligent and innovative community. So we reached out to our residents, we reached out to our businesses, we reached out internally here in the organization as well. We reached out to, you know, our educational institutions, you know, to find out what would Smart Northumberland look like to you. And as a result of this, this engagement, we were able to identify three main areas to focus on, and 10 action items came out of these areas. So the main areas are internally within our workplace. So within Northumberland County itself, there's opportunities to modernize, to use newer technology, you know, and to benefit from the efficiencies and the increased capabilities of that. So that was one area. A second area is around the service delivery. Northumberland County is a service organization, and we do deliver services to our residents. So how can we use technology to better deliver those services? Some of the things that we've implemented, since the onset of the strategy itself is online payments. You can pay for, you know, your bag tags online now, for example. We've also just recently released our engagement platform, joinin.northumberland.ca, which encourages our residents to provide us with their opinions, at a time that best suits them. And then the third focus area really was about tech innovation in the community. So when we looked out and we said, what can Northumberland County do as a leader in this community to help foster sort of the adoption of these of new technology? And we heard a lot of interesting things. We heard, you know, broadband is an issue in our community, and we're working on that one. We've heard about, you know, tech innovation and how there's this potential for Northumberland County to be more involved and, you know, and more of a proactive leader around tech innovation. And that's an item in there. But we also know that with tech innovation comes concerns about security and privacy. So we need to be able to address that. But the last piece of that, something that, that we thought as we're doing all of this, we need to make sure that everybody, that nobody's left out, that everybody is able to participate. Each one of our residents is able to participate as we move forward with this digital strategy. And what that really entails is something around digital literacy. How do we improve everybody's understanding, everybody's ability to use, you know, the technology? We can see it, you know, with every year, it's just, it's almost exponential, the growth that's happening. So how do we keep our residents, how do we bring our residents, you know, along with this so that they can participate, you know, in this new sort of environment that's being developed? And so this, you know, digital literacy is one action item, and this is one of the pieces that are fitting or aligning with that initiative.
Now, it's interesting too, because oftentimes we think about digital literacy and we get a certain picture of an individual in our minds, and they tend to be older and less technically savvy. And yet the stuff that we've talked about so far today affects everybody. Doesn't matter, you know, anybody that's got a smartphone, anybody that gets on a computer, you know, should know this stuff. It's that critical. So, I mean, when you put this out there, we're not talking about just one demographic group. We're talking about everybody could benefit from this. Am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely. I mean, it really is for everybody. And we do know that there's, you know, differing, varying levels of technical expertise within the community. I know our kids or my kids were, you know, were brought up with technology and they're quite familiar with using the different tech. However, I'm still concerned about, you know, them staying safe and whether they truly understand the risks that, you know, that exist out there. But yet this course is meant for everybody from, you know, from our youth up to our seniors, anybody that uses technology, you know, how to stay safe on the internet. Like I said earlier, it's a great resource, but there's a lot of risk out there, and just being aware of that risk and understanding what it looks like really helps a lot to move us in a direction that we may be able to generate some positive output, you know, from technology and from the internet.
Now, who's hosting these sessions?
They're being done online via Zoom. So everything's being done virtually. Everything's being done online. We have partnered with David Robertson from Teched Out, who's a local IT company here, and they will be actually running the sessions. There's going to be a total of 45 of them over the next 5 months, 15 for each of the three topics.
How much does this cost? I heard you mention a grant earlier. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so with respect to this particular program, we did apply for a funding opportunity with the Department of Canadian Heritage, and we were successful. So the bulk of the cost to deliver this is being covered through that funding agreement. There are additional in-kind type contributions, and it's basically, you know, some of my time, some of our communications time that we're contributing to this project to move it forward. But the bulk of the cost of this is covered through the funding submission.
And what's the dollar amount?
It was approximately $30,000, or it was $27,500 of the grant money that we received from the Department of Canadian Heritage. And in addition to that, there's some in-kind time that we're contributing on our behalf.
What about in the future after these sessions have run? Are we going to see more of this kind of thing?
Absolutely, I would love to. I envision, with respect to digital literacy, that we have three main sort of areas within our county. I mean, we've got our youth, we've got our children as they're coming up through school and trying to decide, you know, what do I want to do with my career, and you know, we've got this big shift in business towards technology. So there's a focus there. I know the school boards do a lot of work in that area already. We've also have our seniors, the bulk of which are still new to this technology and you know, doing something along the lines of introducing the technology, what can you do with the technology, and also about being safe. But we've also got our working age adults who, you know, who may want to learn more about technology, who are thinking potentially of career changes, moving away from one career, maybe into a technology-based career. You know, so we've identified these opportunities. We will, you know, continue to pursue funding opportunities and partnerships to be able to deliver digital literacy opportunities for our residents.
Tony Pollock, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate the time.
I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. While we are busy self-isolating, it's important to remember the world has not stopped entirely. If you know of a good story or have an idea for a story, please let me know. You can email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com and include as much detail as possible, especially contact information. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, you can also email me at that same address. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.